All right, Colossians chapter 3, we'll be reading verses 1 through 17. It says, "If then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Put to death, therefore, what is earthly in you: sexual immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. On account of these, the wrath of God is coming. In these you too once walked, when you were living in them. But now you must put them all away: anger, wrath, malice, slander, and obscene talk from your mouth. Do not lie to one another, seeing that you have put off the old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge after the image of its creator. Here there is not Greek and Jew, circumcised and uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave, free, but Christ in all, but Christ is all and in all. Put on then as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, bearing with one another, and if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other, as the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. And above all, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body. And be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. And whatever you do, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him." The Lord add a blessing to the reading of his word.
Well, good morning, Faith Church. Man, it is good to be here. I thank you for your words of appreciation. I got to tell you, it's us who are truly appreciative of you guys. What a wonderful church. We are grateful to you and so thankful that we can be part of this wonderful family. So thank you so much. You know, we are obviously in this sanctification series in which we've been for a few weeks now, and interestingly enough, it's like God is sovereign and he works things. You know, when Kerry Doyle was here last week, he talked about some of these very things that we're covering in our sanctification series, how to grow to be more like Christ in our actions and our attitudes. So this morning, as we continue back into our sanctification series, you will remember the last time that we talked about the setbacks of sanctification. That is, we talked about some of the things that tend to thwart our sanctification, things that tend to hold us back from becoming more like Christ. We identified the enemies of our sanctification, and we also discovered how to isolate our points of failure. So if you missed that, you can go back and listen to that. And last time we ended by stating that we would soon be learning how to take some practical, immediate steps to boost our sanctification so that we can grow more like Christ more efficiently. So today, as we dive into our sanctification series, you and I today will be scouring Scripture to see and discover the habits of holiness. The habits of holiness. Now, I want to tell you that a vital aspect of our sanctification, of our becoming more like Christ, is a focus on developing the habits of holiness. The habits of holiness. Now, what is a habit? First, we kind of have to answer that question. What is a habit? Well, habits are just things we do repeatedly. And habits which lend themselves to the imitation of Christ are habits of holiness. Did you know that Jesus had certain habits? You can see that through Scripture as we follow his routine, his daily life. We see things over and over again, don't we, with Jesus? We see, for example, he often sleeps in late, right? No, we don't. We see him getting up in the morning nice and early, right? Before the sun ever gets up, right? And he goes and he spends time with his Father. It was Jesus' habit to memorize Scripture. Do you know that? I know he was God, but he was also a man. He had to work at that. He had to work as a man at memorizing Scripture so that he can bring them to mind, so that when Satan tempted him, he had those answers right there. These were his habits. He got up early in the morning. He spent time intentionally with his Father. He spent time intentionally memorizing Scripture. He spent time intentionally retreating on a regular basis to commune with his Father. And so it's very important that as we're talking about this idea of becoming more like Jesus, we talk about the idea of our habits reflecting the habits of Christ. Our habits reflecting the scriptural habits of Christianity. Now, let me be clear. While the Bible doesn't often use the word habit, it does sometimes in a few cases, but it doesn't often use the word habit very often. Nonetheless, there is much in Scripture about the concept of habits for believers and the impact of these habits on our lives, particularly when it comes to sanctification. Now, you and I all have habits, every one of us. We've developed these habits. Some of them are good habits, and some of them are bad habits. We know what we're talking about when we talk about good habits and bad habits, right? Like you may have over time developed the habit of getting up in the morning and just without even thinking about it, you just get up and automatically brush your teeth. That's a habit you have developed. At least Mike hopes you do that. And so you've developed this habit, and so now it just comes naturally. But some of us develop other habits that we may have developed unintentionally, like we didn't think about it ahead of time, right? If you're anything like me, it's easy for you once in a while, you know, to maybe get bored and you just for no reason get up and walk to the kitchen and you open the fridge. And the light's so pretty in there. And you know, what am I going to eat, right? You can do that at midnight. So these are habits that you develop, and they're unintentionally done. Yeah, you don't stop and think, man, I'm gonna really work on this habit of opening the fridge every hour or so. It just kind of happens. So habits can be developed intentionally or unintentionally, and some of them are good and some of them are bad, and even newborn babies have habits. You know that? You know, some babies are born out of the womb with the habit already formed of sucking their thumb. Isn't that something? That's a habit they formed in the womb. You see how quickly these things can develop. So let's talk for a moment, shall we, about the importance of habits. The importance of habits, especially as they relate to the Christian life, to sanctification. Now, we've said that the definition of a habit is just something that we do often. Okay, and because we do it often, we usually do it easily. It usually comes without much thinking after a while. It's an act that's regularly repeated and becomes automatic. What is the Bible's view of habits? What does the Bible have to say about habits? Let's get a scriptural view. Well, first of all, there are scores of books written on the topic of habits from like a human psychology perspective. We're not going to get into any of that because we're focused on God's word. We're focused on Scripture, right? So we want to know not what human psychology so much has to say about habits. We want to know what does Scripture have to say about habits. Now, we said that the word habit doesn't occur very much in Scripture. So is it okay to talk about habits if the word habit isn't specifically mentioned in Scripture? Well, you know, you and I have a habit of talking about words like Trinity, which, by the way, don't ever occur in Scripture. You won't find the word Trinity ever in Scripture, but we know that that's a truth, right? So maybe even though the Scripture doesn't use the word habit very often, it'd be okay to talk about the habits that it talks about, okay? So what does the Bible have to say about habits? So our actions and even our reactions to things can be habitual. For example, how one responds to being given unpleasant news or being faced with an unpleasant situation or perhaps having to do an unpleasant task may become so automatic that our response to those things are just habitual. We don't even think about it. It's just like a knee-jerk reaction. You'll know what I mean if you've ever had kids, especially teenagers, right? You know there's this knee-jerk response to being asked to do things, right? How kids respond to being asked to help around the house. If you wonder what I'm talking about, go ask your teenager while they're playing video games or something to get up and, hey, could you help me weed the yard? You'll know what I mean about a habitual knee-jerk reaction response that happens without even thinking. You know what the response is. Ah! Right? That just happens. They don't have to think about that. Now, I want you to notice something. Philippians chapter 2, verse 14 says this. Do all things without grumbling or disputing, that you may be, what, blameless and innocent, children of God without blemish in the midst of a crooked and twisted generation among whom you shine as lights in the world. So what is our response as mature Christians to being asked to do unpleasant things? Is it to grumble and to complain? Well, it can be that, unfortunately. But the Bible speaks quite extensively about exchanging our normal old bad habits and replacing them with new good habits in order to be pleasing to the Lord in our process of sanctification as we grow. But in order to do this, there's a problem. It requires an intentional decision on our part. It requires a change in our thinking. In fact, much of the whole process of sanctification that we're going to be talking about and that we have talked about already has much to do with how we think. It's really how it starts. Romans chapter 12, verses 1 through 2 says, I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship, right? And catch this, he tells us how to do it. Do not be conformed to this world, but instead be transformed, that is changed, how? By the renewal of your mind, that is the way you think. That by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. So this change that this is talking about demands a new way of thinking, a new set of habits on our part. We may need to cultivate a whole new way of looking at the world around us. From negative to positive. 2 Corinthians 10:5, second half of that verse says, we take every thought captive in order to obey Christ. We take every thought captive. What's taking your thoughts captive? Is it social media? Is it the advertising? Is it the world around us? Or are we taking every thought captive to Christ? See, God commands us, for example, God's command, do not steal. And God's command, do not lie to one another, means that you and I have to cultivate the habit of being honest in all things. And this may require putting an end to the old way that we used to think. I don't know about you, but I used to be a thief. It just came naturally. A liar. It just comes naturally. Colossians chapter 3, verses 9 through 10. Do not lie to one another, seeing that you have put off the old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge after the image of its creator. Note that a habit is simply an action that we practice over and over again. And so there are many habits that we have to change and replace with new ones if we're going to grow in sanctification. We've thus far seen habits that affect our mind and our thinking, our perspective. We've seen some that affects our some habits that affect our relationships, like lying, for example. And there are some habits that affect our bodies, our physical bodies. The Bible speaks of these as well. For example, regarding the habits that impact our bodies, such as abusing drugs or abusing alcohol or sexual immorality. We're told in 1 Corinthians, for example, 6:19 through 20, do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you, whom you have from God? You are not your own. You were bought with a price. So glorify God in your body. So our habits also affect our bodies. Ephesians 5:18, and do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. So these passages and others like it are about getting rid of bad habits and replacing them with good habits. These new good habits are described by Jesus as our demonstration of love for him. I'll say it again. These new habits are described by Jesus as being our demonstration of love for him. You say, how? Well, John 14:23, Jesus answered him, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word. And my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. Whoever does not love me does not keep my words. Pretty simple, right? Isn't it interesting how Jesus sometimes just makes things real simple? Are you keeping his word to the extent that his commands are starting to become habits in you? If you do, well, then you know you love him. And we're also told that everything we do, all of our actions and thoughts and words, should ultimately be for the glory of God. 1 Corinthians 10:31. So whether you eat or whether you drink or whatever you do, do all for the glory of God. So are the habits that you're developing in your life and that I'm developing in my life, are these habits that are bringing God glory, or are they bringing him shame? Are they bringing him disgrace? Are they causing people to look at our lives and go, he's a Christian? She's a Christian? So the Bible encourages us to replace our old evil habits and practices with new good ones. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 17. Now this I say and testify in the Lord that you must, catch this, no longer walk as the Gentiles do. By the way, anytime, let me stop for a second there. Anytime you see the word walk in the Bible, unless it's just talking about someone actually walking on a road. Anytime you see the word walk in reference like this, in this kind of context, it's talking about a lifestyle. You understand that, right? It's talking about something that, a life that is lived, something that is practiced. Okay, so with that in mind, here we go. You must no longer walk or live as or do things like or practice like the Gentiles do in the futility of their minds. They are darkened in their understanding. They're alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to their hardness of heart. They have become callous. They have given themselves up to sensuality and greedy to practice every kind of impurity. You see that? Practice? That's to say, that's the word we can replace for habit, right? That practice, that lifestyle, that walking, okay? Let me show you another one. 1 John 3:7-10, little children, let no one deceive you. Whoever, catch this, practices righteousness is righteous, just as he is righteous. Whoever makes a practice of sinning is of the devil, for the devil has been sinning from the beginning. The reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the works of the devil. No one born of God makes a practice of sinning, for God's seed abides in him, and he cannot keep on sinning because he has been born of God. By this it is evident who are the children of God and who are the children of the devil. Whoever does not practice righteousness is not of God, nor is the one who does not love his brother. Are you getting the sense here? Practice, walk. These are habits. These are things that ultimately shape our character. So habits are powerful. Habits are powerful because cumulatively, our habits have the ability to determine the course of our lives. I hope you understand that. Your life is just a sum total of your habits. That's ultimately what your destiny is going to be, right? And thus, the extent and success of our sanctification is determined by the extent of and success of our habits, what our habits are. What you plant in your life will be what grows out of your life. What you plant in your life will be what grows out of your life. So what is the relationship here between habits and sanctification? So when we speak of the goal of our lives being sanctification, that is the imitation of Christ, we're not talking about creating a brief moment in time here and there or an isolated incident in which we either do something good or resist doing something bad. No, we're not talking about that. What we're talking about is a transformed lifestyle. A transformed lifestyle. Another term for sanctification is Christ-like character. And when we speak of Christian sanctification, we're talking about, as we mentioned before, a trajectory that our lives are on, right? Our lives are on this trajectory. And hopefully that trajectory is leading up to becoming more and more like Christ. Are we becoming more like Christ in our speech, our thoughts, our attitudes, our actions, our behavior? So there's a word for this. It's not a moment or an incident or even a good day. It's something very different from that. The word that we use for someone's regular practice, that is the way that they live on a normal basis, you know what word we use for that? We call that their character. Their character. Their character is what defines them. It's who they are. It's at the core of each one of our identities. You want to talk about, you know, we talk about identity nowadays a lot in our culture. You want to know your identity, that's your character. Now, imagine you have a person that is normally very, very, very patient. Like they endure being mistreated and falsely accused and endure all kinds of things all the time. They're known as being a patient person, right? And some event finally gets to them, something finally happens, and they lose their temper in a moment. What do we say? We say that's very out of character for that person. Okay? Now, here's the thing about character. You want to know what creates character? Simple. Habits. Habits create character. Since thoughts lead to actions and actions lead to habits, the same is also true in reverse. Your habits are formed as a direct result of your repetitive actions, which spring from your repetitive thoughts. So sow a thought, you'll reap an action. If you reap an action, or you sow an action, you'll reap a habit. You sow a habit, you'll reap a character. When you sow your character, you'll eventually reap your destiny. That's just how these things work. So if our goal is to make our character like Christ, then we had better, you and I, talk about habits. Because everything comes down to that, ultimately. When someone does something that is inconsistent with who they are, we say that's very uncharacteristic of them, or that's out of character. So, as a follower of Christ, you know, I've heard many times people say things like, oh, you know, I really love Jesus, or I prioritize his kingdom or whatever. And one of the things that we've said time and time again is, hey, you know what? You don't have to tell me what's important to you. Just show me your calendar and your bank account, and I'll show you what's important to you, right? Because that's where we spend our money and our time. They're the things that are very important to us. So show me your calendar and your bank account. I'll show you what's important to you. Show me your habits, and I'll show you your thoughts and actions. The things that are that you think about, the things that consume you, the things that are important to you ultimately become your habits, and those become your character. So, how can our habits be changed? How can our habits be changed? That's a great question. James 3:16 says, "For where there is jealousy and selfishness and selfish ambition exist, there will be disorder and every vile practice." So the relationship here you can see between thought and practice, which becomes habit. Philippians chapter 4, verse 8 and 9 says, "Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. What you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you." Did you see that? Practice these things. So, now that we've covered the importance of habits, let's ask this question. How can habits be changed? You say, I understand that, but I've got a lifetime filled with bad habits. How can habits be changed? Well, we've talked about unintentional habits, patterns you unwittingly allow to form in your life, going to the fridge. We've talked about intentional habits, patterns you intentionally determine to form in your life. There's things that you have to do quite intentionally. If you want to learn to play a musical instrument, for example, you have to be very intentional about that. And you have to be intentional. Here's the thing about playing a musical instrument. You have to be intentional about it for more than a day, right? Right? So I have learned in playing guitar, I've learned that it's more important that I play 10 minutes a day, every day, right, than that I play 10 hours one day a month, right? It just works that way. I don't know why, but it's just that way, right? And Scripture admonishes us to put away our old self and our old sinful habits and replace them with new. Ephesians 4:22-24 says this: "Put off your old self, which belongs to your former manner of life, and is corrupt through deceitful desires, and be renewed in the spirit of your minds, and to put on a new self, the new self, created in the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness." How about Colossians 3:5-10? "Put to death, therefore, what is earthly in you, sexual immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, covetousness, which is idolatry. On account of these things, the wrath of God is coming. In these you too once walked, back when you were living in them, but now you must put them all away. Put away all these things, like anger and wrath and malice and slander and obscene talk from your mouth." These are habits. "Don't lie to one another, seeing you have put off the old self with its practices, and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge after the image of its creator." See, Scripture encourages us to replace these old sinful habits with new good habits, God-honoring habits. And this begins first by changing our thinking. Changing our thinking, Colossians 3:1-2. "If then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things of this earth." The problem is that many of us Christians still have our minds here on the earth. Romans 8:5-6, "For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit set their minds on the things of the Spirit. For to set the mind on the flesh is death, but to set the mind on the Spirit is life and peace." Are you getting this theme? I mean, it's all throughout Scripture. Romans 12:1-2, "I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. Don't you be conformed to the world, but transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. So, changing our mind, changing our thinking, changes our actions. That is, our deeds, the things we do on a regular basis. And when we change the things we do regularly, we change our habits. And when we change our habits, we become transformed in our character. So, changing our habits requires some action on our part. What is it? Well, first of all, you and I have to reevaluate the effect of habits on our character, how serious our habits are, what kind of drastic effect they have on our character. Secondly, we have to recognize that change is necessary. I'm just giving you some practical things right now, okay? So just real quick, some practical things. Reevaluate the effects of habits on our character. And if you miss some of these, I'll give them to you later. Come to me later. Recognizing that, number two, recognize that change is necessary. Number three, reorienting our priorities, because we all do only what's important to us. Number four, reclaim responsibility for our choices. We are not helpless victims. It's not, oh, poor me, so-and-so made me do it. No, reclaim responsibility for your choices. Number five, remove harmful patterns of activity. Cut out the cancer that is taking you away from Christ. Number six, regularly reinforce positive patterns of activity. That is daily intentional acts. Daily intentional acts. Okay? Number seven, realize what it will require. This is serious business. This is not going to be easy. This is not going to be overnight. It will require self-discipline, endurance. It'll require denying yourself. It'll require you getting out of your comfort zone. By the way, comfort is one of our greatest enemies, especially in this culture we live in. Comfort's one of our greatest enemies. It'll require consistent repetition over a long period of time. It will require an intentional, sustained, continual effort. And it will require that ultimately you desire to be pleasing to God more than you desire to be pleasing to yourself. That's a tough one. That's a tough one. We don't like denying ourselves. We're not in the habit of denying ourselves. So, those are just some practical things. Let's end with this. What are then the habits of holiness? We've talked about the importance of habits. We've talked about how can habits change. Question. What are the habits of holiness? What are these habits that God wants us to have in order that we might follow His Son? How do we harness the habits of holiness? Well, we've said that the habits of holiness are the things that we do regularly that prove that we're serious about God. These are the things that prove that we love Jesus, right? If you love me, you'll keep my commandments. Talk is cheap. The proof is in the pudding. By the way, this isn't mine. I stole it from someone else long, long ago. But often when I do marriage counseling, I will say the line that I stole from someone: if you're not working on your marriage, then your marriage is not working. Somebody says, my marriage is not working. Are you working on your marriage? Well, no. Well, okay, then your marriage isn't working. See, it's that way for everything, though, right? If you're not working on your sanctification, then your sanctification isn't working. Have you ever run into someone who's been a Christian for years, right? 5, 10, maybe 20 years, maybe 30 years, right? And you look at some things in their life and you're like, man, dude, did you like miss Christianity 101 class or right? Or worse yet, you don't even know they're a Christian. You like come up to them, hey, can I tell you about Jesus? Right? Because their life looks nothing like it. See, that's what we don't want. That's what we don't want. So we want to employ the habits of holiness. Now, I'm tempted to give you about 50 different scriptures that just talk about the habits of holiness, and we digest them all, but we're not going to do that. Because while we could look at a number of scriptures that deal with individual habits specifically, it's perhaps even more helpful for us to get a bird's eye view, an overall picture of what scripture has to say about our purpose as believers. And that will inform some of those more detailed parts, okay? So I like doing things very systematically. I like to break it down from top down, right? What makes sense and what flows out of what. So let me give it to you this way. I want to give you the overarching theme of the Christian life. So let's declutter it. Okay? Instead of looking at dozens and dozens of individual scriptures, let me declutter this for you. This comes from Jesus, okay? Thankfully not from me. Jesus provided this for us, the whole theme and purpose of the entire Christian life. He did it in just two passages. It's beautiful. Matthew chapter 22, verse 36 through 40. Here's the context, right? Someone comes to him and says, Jesus, what is the greatest commandment in the law? He's talking about like Old Testament, right? All the commands of the Old Testament. And Jesus said to him, you shall love the Lord God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. That's the greatest commandment. This is the greatest and first commandment. And by the way, let me just stop right there. What Jesus means by this is you can take everything in the whole Old Testament that God wanted people to know and to do and boil it down to this. If you could do this, everything else would flow out of it, right? Okay, so love God with all your heart, soul, mind. And then Jesus says, this is the great and first commandment. And the second is like it, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depend all the law and the prophets. Jesus said that. I didn't say that. Jesus said that. All of the law and the prophets depend on just these two. If you could just do that too, you'd have it all good. That's called the great commandment. Now let me show you one more passage. I promised you two. That was one. Here's the second one. Matthew 28, 19 through 20. And Jesus came and said to them, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Okay? Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded, and behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. You see that? It's what he wants us to do. He wants us to make disciples. What are disciples? Disciples are those who do what Jesus did. That's why we have to teach them to obey all that he commanded, otherwise they're not disciples, right? Because that's sanctification. And I am with you always, even to the end of the age. So what did he give us? He gave us the great commandment and the great commission. That encompasses everything that you and I are responsible to do in life. And on Jesus' great commandment and great commission, we can build great lives. Lives that resemble Jesus. These two encompass everything we're expected to do in our process of sanctification. So, what is our purpose as Christians? Why do we exist? Like, once we become Christians, why doesn't God just, now that we're saved, why doesn't he just take us out and take us straight to heaven, right? Why are we still here sucking air? What's the purpose of our lives? Well, it's simple. The great commandment and the great commission. So let's boil those down, shall we? Let's boil down the great commandment and the great commission. We can do it in the simplest terms like this. Our purpose is to worship God, grow in Christ, love one another, and make disciples. Can you think of anything else? That's it. Think about it. Everything falls into those four. Worship God, grow in Christ, love one another, make disciples. Great commandment, great commission. Things that make you go, right? Why is this our purpose in life? Because balancing the great commandment and the great commission allows us to live a great life for Christ. Because when we do, we grow stronger through worship, closer through service, larger through evangelism, and deeper through discipleship. It's our whole purpose in life. Because a great commitment to Jesus' great commandment and great commission makes great disciples. So, here's what I want to leave you with. Each individual habit of holiness ultimately serves to accomplish one of these four purposes. Okay? So what are the primary habits of holiness? We won't have time this week. You'll have to come back next week. Would you pray with me? Father, we are thankful for your word. Oh, Lord, you know I didn't intend to bait these people. But, Lord, you are good and you are sovereign. And, Father, we thank you for all that your word has to teach us about holiness. And, Lord, we are looking forward. We are looking forward to the habits of holiness next week as we want to grow in sanctification. Lord, would you help us in this process? Lord, help us to this week consider our habits, to consider the things that have been really shaping our lives and controlling our lives and determining who we are, determining our character. Lord, would you help us to reevaluate those things? Lord, thank you that your word has just brought to the forefront how critical, how vital, how important our habits are. Lord, would you help us to transform our habits, to imitate the habits of your Son, who set a perfect example for us. Lord, our desire is to glorify you. Our desire is to put a smile on your face in our actions and in our reactions, the way that we think, the way that we process, the way that we interact with one another, our attitudes, the words we say to one another. Lord, our desire is to please you. Our desire is that you would look down on us, Lord, and say, oh, there's my son. There's my daughter in whom I am well pleased, Lord. Lord, as we continue to dive deeper into this sanctification series, as we dive into your word, Lord, would you reveal to us through your Holy Spirit the things that will transform our lives to become more like your son, to bring you glory and you honor. In Jesus' name, amen.